Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The haunted chair. Some people don't believe that chairs are haunted or a house. I worked for my father doing upholstery. We came across some great-looking old furniture, and I used to love seeing how it was made. Well, we had this one chair. It was a child's chair done in a light blue velvet. It was worse for wear, so I was going to strip it down, and then we were going to respring it. Well, I went to grab the chair, and thinking nothing of it, as soon as I touched the chair, I froze. My father said he had called my name for over 10 minutes, but I didn't seem to be there. Well, as soon as I touched the chair, I saw an image of a little girl in an old-fashioned dress. Not sure of the date of the dress. I really was never interested, but I would say Victorian or somewhere around there. She had long dark hair with little curlets at the end. She was holding a doll of some kind. She was in what appeared to be her bedroom. There was smoke coming from under the door, and she was pounding on the door like trying to get someone to let her out, though no one ever came. She sat down in the chair and fell asleep, probably from the smoke. Well, I finally came around and didn't want to touch the chair again. In fact, I left my father's shop in a hurry, though curiosity got the better of me. I went down and stripped the chair. The frame was burnt out for the place where the girl would have been sitting. Come to find out, the lady's family owned the chair, and a relative died in a fire that had started right outside the girl's bedroom. She still had been sitting in the chair when they found her. The lamp. This happened in 2005. I was in bed reading when I heard a crash and glass breaking. I thought something had fallen in the sink, so I went down and checked the kitchen. Everything was neat and tight, and nothing was out of place. I returned to bed, but kept thinking about the noise I heard. It was definitely glass breaking, so I got up again and went to check the kids, who were all sleeping. I went downstairs to the family room and turned on the lights. There was broken glass all over the hardwood floor. Also on the floor was a 6-inch taper candle, broken in half. The glass and the candle were part of a hurricane lamp I received from a friend as a gift. I'd placed it on the top of the TV wall unit, way in the back so no one could knock it off accidentally. In front of the lamp was a large potted plant. In front of the plant was a row of bowling trophies my hubby won. Now, the lamp itself is a solid brass holder and really heavy, with a glass cover. The candle was brand new and was never burned, but used more for decoration. Only the glass and the candle itself was on the floor. The heavy brass holder was still there, sitting way in the back behind all the other stuff. Nothing was knocked over. Looking at the candle, it was broken in the middle and melted where the break was. You could see that the wick was still unburned. Only the outside was melted in one spot near the break. The glass was in many pieces on the floor, as if it was literally smashed to the ground with force. By that time, the whole house was awakened. No one had any idea how the glass and the candle could land on the floor with all the obstacles in front and not knock over something if it fell. It definitely did not fall, as everything was in its place, including the actual holder. My hubby thought it was probably a mouse, unless it was huge and was on steroids or something, to grab and lift the 8-inch tall glass and candle and fling it over all the stuff. Then I need an exterminator. The usual wind theory hubby had was full of hot air. No wind in a downstairs family room with windows all closed and frozen shut in some of the other rooms, as it was about 30 degrees Celsius outside. Everyone else heard the crash, but none of us have an explanation. As I was still wide awake and reading, I would have noticed someone going downstairs, as they had to pass by my room and the door was open. Was it a poltergeist? No idea. A similar experience happened recently, about a year ago. The girls are both married and moved out. Only the boys live at home, as they are going to college. They can't afford to move out yet, and they are in their mid-20s. They were downstairs in the basement entertaining some friends. As they were sitting there talking, the soccer ball on the shelf came floating down and landed with a plop on the floor. No bounce. It was as if someone invisible took it off the shelf and placed it on the floor. All of them saw it, and for grown young men, they were freaked out, as they put it. If a soccer ball falls for whatever reason, it usually bounces. It doesn't slowly float off the shelf and land on the floor with no bounce. We are second owners. This house is less than 30 years old, and the original owners were a young couple with small children. This was the first time anyone had actually seen something move on its own. My husband is the biggest skeptic. Even if he sees something with his own eyes, he tries to explain it away as nothing, or his favorite, the wind. We have had stuff like footprints outside the house appearing from nowhere in the middle of the yard, noticed by some neighbor kids, and stopping and disappearing as if whoever walked had flown away. We've heard banging on the bathroom door, and when you open it, no one is there, and you are alone in the house. Noises of drawers opening and closing, and the latches making a tinkling noise. The dressers all have pull handles. We've heard voices upstairs when you are downstairs, or downstairs when you go up and you are alone. Strange lights and weird electrical problems, like the blender turning on in the middle of the night by itself, and it was unplugged. The TV turning on and off by itself or changing channels on its own, just to name a few. If this place is haunted, then who is haunting it? No one died here, and the neighbors knew the previous original owners. I may not know who or what is doing this, but I do know one thing. I think my house is haunted. Half a ghost. A good friend of my family died and was found dead in his bed. It was believed he took his own life. This was in the early 1960s. The friend's sister gave the bed he died in to my sister, for she did not want any memories. After the funeral and about a week later, my sister, myself, and our roommate, who did not believe in the paranormal or ghosts, all heard a creak in the floor. We were sitting at the dining table in the middle of the day. We all looked up, and it was the man that had died walking down the hall, visible only from the waist up. He was in the suit they buried him in, but only half of his physical form was showing. You could see right through his physical form. From the waist down, there was nothing. He walked straight down the hall towards the bed he had died in. My roommate flew into a corner, shaking uncontrollably and crying in fear. We were all in a state of shock. After that, things would happen. My sister slept in the deceased man's bed and it would shake all over. She would hear heavy breathing in her ear. She was so afraid one night she asked me to lay on the other side with her. I did and also experienced the bed shaking all over and moaning sounds and heavy breathing. My sister and I were both awake at this point and asked one another if the other was doing this, and we said no. We were both so terrified that I got up and slept on the sofa, and my sister got rid of the bed the next day. The spirit was never seen or heard of again. It seemed to have followed its bed that it died in. I feel he, our friend, did take his own life, and that in the afterlife was chained to the bed and could not set himself free from it. The Haunted Taxi Driver. Many years ago in Iowa, where I'm from, I was driving my taxi and I pulled the night shift for 20 years. On one such occasion, I found a buddy of mine at the gas station acting a bit off, but didn't think twice. Friends don't question friends. You accept friends unconditionally. He was out in the parking lot wandering around as I pulled in. I spoke to him a bit, shooting the bull. He said he wanted to go for a ride, so I said, "That's cool." I just ended my night's run and was heading home and always had time to spend with him. So we ran around town for a while, easily talking about old times, and he wanted to go back to the gas station. I dropped him off and stood outside the car finishing our conversation, and he walked off down the sidewalk. I went into the station to buy a pack of Camels and a Coke. When I found what I wanted, I made my way to the counter and the gal was acting nervous. I asked, "What's wrong? Did she have a bad night with drunks?" She said no, but was concerned about me standing in the parking lot, talking to myself. Someone to watch over me. This was the early 70s. My aunt watched me while my mother worked. My aunt and uncle, a few months before I was born, moved into an old house that was owned by their friends. The house was separated into an upstairs apartment, which my aunt and uncle lived in, and a downstairs apartment, which their friends lived in. The upstairs was accessible only by a wooden staircase, which were about 25 or 30 steps. From the very beginning, they experienced strange events in the apartment. The windows were the heavy wood frame type that you have to pull up and would suddenly open. The bathroom faucets would turn on by themselves, and then when you went to stand in front of them, they would turn off again. My aunt and uncle were not disturbed by this. They jokingly referred to the ghost as Henry. For Valentine's Day that year, my uncle bought my aunt a small statue that had his arms open wide that said, "I love you this much." It was a kitschy 70s thing. My aunt called it Henry after the ghost because they would leave it in one place when they went to bed, and when they woke up, it would be lying on the couch or in the bed with them. Both accused the other of moving it, but both swore they hadn't. My grandfather did not think any of it was funny, but he did tell me years later, this was from World War II fighting, that yes, something was there. When my aunt started watching me, my uncle bought her a bassinet that rocked and a room with no air on and the windows closed. The bassinet would rock by itself when I would cry before anyone could go get it. My uncle said that I would reach over their shoulders, always pointing to something, and I would laugh and giggle and try to grab for something over my crib. So my uncle and my aunt started to talk to the ghost, telling it, "Henry, watch over her." They said I would stare at the statue in fascination for hours and wave endlessly at it, but I would not touch it. One day, my aunt was making lunch, and by this point I was crawling, so she sat the statue at the doorway between the kitchen and living room. She could see me from the stove, and I just sat staring at the statue, not moving, as she heated water. Suddenly, and she swears this on her life, the door that was held open by a chair that was between the kitchen and the living room flew shut, sending the chair skidding across the kitchen floor. My aunt said she was shocked, and I started to cry, so she took two steps to open the door back up when the gas oven exploded. My aunt was thrown through the door that led outside and down all those stairs, all the while her hair and clothes were on fire. Her friend who lived downstairs heard the sound and came running. She managed to put the fire on my aunt out, but her blue jeans were melted to her legs and her waist-long hair was burned to her scalp. The fire was still burning, and they said that all my aunt kept doing was screaming my name. The fire station was only blocks from the house, and when they got there and put the fire out, they walked into the living room to find me sitting on the couch with a statue on the coffee table in front of me. I was unharmed, and the fire had not spread beyond the kitchen door. My mother said later that when my uncle saw the damage to the kitchen and then to the perfect living room and me, he said, "Thank you, Henry." My aunt spent months in the hospital and still to this day has severe burn scars on her legs and arms. The fire investigation said that a gas leak had been the cause. I don't remember any of this, but no one in my family believes in any of this stuff until you bring up Henry, and then they just smile and say, "Well, Henry was different." I don't know what it was, but whatever it was saved my life, and maybe more than once. I don't know if it is related, but years later, my aunt and uncle had moved, and I was going out for a ride with my aunt, and we had not been by the house in years, but suddenly she said, "Let's stop and say hi to Henry." We did, and then stopped at a gas station for soda. My aunt parked on the side and went in. An elderly man at the pumps forgot to remove the hose from his car, and when he drove off, somehow it ignited and the gas pump went up in flames. This was the days before automatic shutoff. I was sitting in the car watching the entire time. I was fine. My aunt came out shaking. Did Henry help the second time? I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't know. But I do know that I will never own a gas stove and that I am super careful at the gas station, just in case Henry's not around for the third time. My old friend. My story begins way back in junior high school, 7th grade, where I first met the guy who had become my closest friend throughout our high school days. Mike was a mischievous, irreverent, though harmless person who would rather play a practical joke on someone than anything else. If someone in class got up from his desk, he was always stealing their paper or pencils and hiding them, or placing some foul-smelling substance in a snooty girl's desk, always playing innocent, but looking down and sniggering to himself when she started to gag. As most school friendships go, we sort of drifted apart after graduation, but living in a small town, still saw each other on occasion and assumed we would always be there. Years rolled by and nothing changed until a mutual friend mentioned in passing, "You know Mike?" "Yeah, he died a couple of weeks ago." "Well, no, I didn't." Apparently, he had been hospitalized with a liver disease and passed away in the hospital. I was stunned, angry, and very sad, and felt a huge loss knowing his life was over, and I would never hear his "Hey, David," again. The same day I heard the news of his passing, I went to work as usual as a subcontractor to a home builder cleaning freshly built homes. I worked alone and was very much depressed as I went through my normal routine, carrying my supplies in and out of the house. But in a short time, things started going wrong. My paper towels would suddenly be missing, only to be found in the next room. My vacuum cleaner would become unplugged all on its own, requiring me to walk across the room to plug it back in. At one point, my bucket turned over, spilling its contents all over everything. Things I could swear I had with me, I found still in my truck after looking everywhere. I was becoming more and more frustrated as the day went on. Nothing was going right. Finally, I decided to sit down against the wall and regroup and tried to calm down. I had no more gotten still when suddenly I had the sense of somebody laughing. It all came together then and I called out, "Mike, are you here?" I've always been a skeptic and never put much credence in the paranormal, up to now. However, I had to consider the possibility simply by the atmosphere that was invading the room. I never heard any words out loud, but I felt a comforting voice that seemed to say, "It's okay, David. The joke's on you, and I'm still around, and I'm okay. Don't be sad." I could almost hear the particular snicker he made when he got somebody. Almost at once, a sense of calm came over me. I relaxed and cried a little, there alone, mourning the loss of my friend, but at peace with letting him go. After a little while, I got up and went back to work with no more mishaps. Did my friend actually come back to comfort me? Was it all in my mind? All I can swear to is that I felt that day an experience like nothing ever before, and the peace of mind that followed. The car accident. I know these people who were in a fatal car accident and told me this story. Well, they were all driving and having fun when they turned a corner too sharply and crashed into another car. All the people in both cars got out unharmed, or so they thought. As they called the police and the paramedics, they waited and talked for a bit about their close call. One of the two girls in the victim's car were talking to the four people who turned a corner too sharply about how she was fine and not hurt in any way. Then all of a sudden the girl fell, just as the paramedics were arriving. The paramedics rushed to the girl who fell and asked the group what happened. They said that she was just talking to us and saying how she felt fine and then collapsed just moments before you guys got here. As the paramedics examined her, they got a strange look on their faces. The paramedics asked, "Are you sure that she was just talking to you?" The group of people said, "Yes, she said she felt fine. We thought she looked okay." Then the paramedic said that it was impossible because she had broken her neck in the accident and died instantly. The group was shocked and disagreed, knowing she was standing right there beside them moments ago. The group felt scared as they took pictures of the accident for evidence with a digital camera. They saw something weird in one of the photos. It appeared to be a white mist leaving the car accident and disappearing into the shadows. Ghosts of soldiers. I went on a trip to France with a group of friends and we went to visit the sites of D-Day on the beaches of Normandy. One of the sites we went to was Pointe du Hoc, which stands on a cliff. On this cliff, you are still able to see where the bombs landed and you can see the remains of the German bunkers. A friend and I decided to go explore the bunkers. Some are completely caved in and some are still intact. The last bunker we came to was strange to us because it was still intact, but unlike the other ones, it didn't have any lights, so you couldn't see much of the inside. In the main room, you were able to see because of the light coming from outside. I went in and I saw that the main room opened up to two other rooms. The one on the right was pitch black, while the other one on the left, you could see a little less than half of it because there was holes that allowed some light to come in. I told my friend to go out and see if she could find dry twigs so we could make a torch. When she left, I heard noises coming from the room, so I went to check it out. What I saw shocked me. From the dark side of the room on the floor, I saw a shadow coming, and it seemed to be coming towards me. I could see the perfect outline of a human, and I could see it was wearing a hat. I couldn't move and could only stare. Then I heard my friend coming, and I started to call her. When I turned to look at the shadow on the floor, it was going back to the dark side of the room, and I couldn't see it anymore. After that, I now believe that the ghosts of dead soldiers are still there. The Woods of War. When I was 13, I lived in my great-grandfather's old farmhouse near Schuylerville, which is where the turning point of the American Revolution, the Battle of Saratoga, took place. My sister, cousin, and I were playing softball in the field in our backyard when all of a sudden our dog raced into the woods. At first, we thought nothing of it because he always went into the woods, but something about the way that he stayed in the woods for that long of a time scared us. When we looked into the clearing of the woods, we saw a man petting our dog. The man had on an old Revolutionary War uniform. It was blue, but it was also ragged. Then the mystery man disappeared, but he was still petting our dog. After that incident, I was so scared to even go into the woods for a few days. The next week, I had to go to the woods with my older cousin to get a ball that was thrown in there when we heard voices. They didn't seem to be saying anything in English, but we heard it clear as if they were standing right in front of us. Since it was our private woods, nobody was allowed to go in them, and we also knew that nobody else, except us of course, had even gone into the woods. That same night, I went into the woods without anybody else. At first, I didn't hear anything, but then I saw a horse running towards me, but after it disappeared. I realized it wasn't one of our horses because they were in the barn and none of our neighbors owned one. It's been almost 5 years since then, and I haven't been back since. The Ammo Ghost. Hi, I'm a private and I live on Camp Schwab in Okinawa, Japan. I've been here for a few months and I've heard a lot of rumors about the ghosts that live on Okinawa. I never thought much of it until I saw one for myself. It was a night and I was on duty. The time on deck was about 03:50. I was touring the area and nothing seemed out of the norm. As I headed out to the back door to check inside, I got this weird feeling. I came back from outside and headed towards the duty desk. As I was passing the chow hall, on the way back I saw a pitch black figure making weird gestures. I couldn't see any facial features. It was solid black and looked like a man. When it noticed me, it ran. At first I thought it was one of the restriction marines that lived on first deck, but when I proceeded to cut it off at the only other entrance to the chow hall, it wasn't there anymore. I turned on the light and saw the entire chow hall was empty. This same ghost was spotted a few weeks later running from the gym to the old chow hall at the time of 02:30 by two other Marines on duty. They went to the chow hall to confirm what they saw. It reacted the same way when it noticed them. It ran. Then just this morning at 03:00, the ghost was spotted running from the gym to the chow hall. The Marine on duty, who was one of two who had spotted the ghost the second time, saw the ghost run to the chow hall again. This time he chased after it. When it ran, only disappeared past the wall. The same black faceless figure I come to find out was seen months ago before I even got to Okinawa while one of our sergeants was on duty. We don't know whether or not it's a ghost or someone sneaking into our barracks, but we are going to find out. Someone by my bed. In 1997, my husband and I rented a house in Texas. The house was the first homestead in the town. I believe the house at the time was about 105 years old. I love this old house, and all my antique furniture fit in it just perfectly. I've been sensitive to the unknown as long as I can remember. From day one in the house, I knew we weren't living alone. Between my shirt being tugged on while in the kitchen doing dishes, to heavy footsteps in the attic, it became a regular thing to live with. My husband is a truck driver, so there were long periods of time when I was alone in the house. The unexplained things didn't bother me at all until all of a sudden I was having a visitor come into my bedroom at night. The first time it happened, I thought it was a dream. I was awake but could not move. I was struggling to speak and then all of a sudden I would scream, "Get out!" and it would leave. I figured out it wasn't a dream when it would reoccur a few times a week. I would feel someone come and sit on the bed and then climb in the bed and pull the covers. The same thing happened over and over. I couldn't move or speak. After this kept happening, I thought, this doesn't happen when my husband is home. And the one thing different I was doing was leaving my bedroom door open so I would be able to hear throughout the house. I thought I would try something. I closed my bedroom door for several nights and nothing happened. Evidently, as long as my door was open, it was an open invitation for the unseen presence to come in. I started leaving my door closed at night. We no longer live in the house due to the property being sold to an investor, and it has been since torn down. I still wondered who my nighttime visitor could have been. The old woman in my room. I was in the fourth grade when my family and I had moved into our very first house. The house had been abandoned and boarded up for 3 years before a big move. My father had spent about half a year fixing up the horrible eyesore to a place we could call home. The house had 3 bedrooms, and I took the bedroom that was adjacent to the kitchen and the basement stairs. I always remembered my room always being colder than all the other rooms. I was so excited to have my very own room for the first time since my brothers were born, so I really didn't care about that. But a couple of months after we settled in, I started having a recurring dream that I was awake and I looked towards my door. My door was always open with a nightlight on in the kitchen, and a silhouette of someone standing there that would just stare at me. At first I thought it was my mother checking up on me, but then it came out to be a silhouette of an old short woman. I would freak out so bad, I would try to move and felt my arms and legs move just to find out I hadn't moved at all. I finally forced myself to wake up, and when I looked at the door, there was no one there. I kept telling myself it was just my mother, but when I had gone to my parents' room to reassure myself, she had been fast asleep each and every time. Even when I woke her up to find out, she said she hadn't left the bed at all that night. For 2 years, I dreaded going to sleep in my room. I would sleep on the couch or stay up all night fearing of seeing the old woman. She would never harm me or move at all, but didn't take away from the fact that I was petrified of her. Finally, I didn't care if my parents thought I was crazy or not. I told them what I had been experiencing in my room. My parents didn't know what to say about it, so they just blew it off and let me sleep in the living room. The next day, my dad hung out with our neighbor that had lived there for many years. They were talking, and my dad brought up my story about the old woman. Our neighbor stood quietly for a second, then started telling my father of the old couple that used to live there before the house was left to gather dust. He talked of an old man and woman that lived in the house for many years. The couple liked to be secluded and were very mean towards other people. One day, the woman was very ill and actually passed away in the room that I now call mine. The old man thought it was time to move on and went to live in the next town. So, after 2 years of sleepless nights, my parents called in our Catholic priest and he blessed the house. After that, I never encountered the old woman again. Now, as for why she would stare at me throughout the night, I never knew. And in truth, I'm glad I never did. The guest room. My house is a two-story home. The house normally is at a constant 72 degrees Fahrenheit, but in the guest room, temperatures fluctuate regularly. I personally have experienced nothing in the room during the day, but at night, I refuse to go in unless I have to. It all stemmed from one experience. Around 9:30 at night, I went into the room to grab a ball. We, my friends and I, were playing with. As I went in, I didn't feel right in the room. I felt a cold air coming. Then I saw one of the pillows move slightly. Then an impression formed in the pillow. I quickly ran to my room again. Then my friend, whom I will call John, was spending the night at my house. He awoke in the early hours of the morning to see a mist come from under the door. It came and circled above him. He tried to wake me, but I was sound asleep. He watched as the mist then moved under the door. Another night he saw a picture from the room float to the guest room door and then back to where it belonged. The picture was of my aunt, who had recently passed away. And a third night he watched as a figure in blue came to the closed door and stood there. He woke me, and I looked as the figure stood at the door for about 3 seconds and then vanished. The room is normally avoided by my family and is rarely used, which is probably why it's haunted. The room itself was the room that the former owner slept in. She died of cancer 2 years after the house was built. She is not the one we expect to be causing the main problems in the room. We believe that another ghost is in the house. We are not sure of any other home or residence of the house previously had, but who knows who that ghost is. The haunted dorm. I share a dorm room with a good friend, and it's about 12 feet by 12 feet, a perfect square. A ton of crazy, unexplainable events have happened in this room. We were told by our resident director that a boy committed suicide in the room next to us a few years back, and that some people had since complained of strange occurrences. Little did we know what we were in for. The best way to do this is for me to just list all of the events that happened and which scared us half to death. The scariest thing of all is that these events only seem to happen around the time of 3:15 a.m., and I don't know the significance of this. Number one, it was the second week of school, and we went to bed at 3 a.m. We were laying in bed in total darkness, just talking about random stuff, when all of a sudden we heard a very clear and distinct roof, clearly a dog barking. We both instantly got quiet. 5 seconds later, roof. It came from my roommate's closet, so we turned the lights on and checked it out. Nothing. We never heard this barking again. Incident number two. It was a Friday night, and we're there with three of our good friends in the room goofing around. I crumpled my quiz from my calculus class up and threw it across the room. Out of nowhere, the crumpled piece of paper rolled all the way across the room back to me and rested right beside my foot. We all ran out of the room, totally freaked out. Incident number three. Again, it was after 3 a.m. My roommate and I are laying in bed watching the Amityville Horror. I must have been asking for something to happen. I don't know what we were thinking. When all of a sudden, the remote fell off the top of the TV and paused the movie on a scene where there was a ghost. Before one of us could get up to get the remote, the TV just shut off and then came back on. The movie was still on pause, but this time a different image was on the TV. Incident 4. I went home for the weekend and my roommate spent the night by himself. I got a call from him Saturday night at about 3:18 a.m. He had seen a hand poking out from his closet. Incident number 5. I was going to the bathroom and felt an unusual cold chill follow me to the stall. It was again after 3 a.m. I was the only person in the bathroom. I sat down to do my business when out of nowhere, the stall next door to me goes bang, then bang 2 or 3 more times before I could tail it out of there, which is exactly what I did. Incident number 6, the scariest thing yet. It was exactly 3:15 a.m. We knew by now when this stuff went down and were almost expecting it. The room was dark when all of a sudden my laptop, which was shut off and closed, made a weird buzzing sound and the lights came on and the screen turned on. If you own a laptop, you will know that when the screen is shut, it turns off and doesn't come back on until you open it. My roommate and I were flipping out until finally got up to go and shut it off. Before he got to it, I kid you not, there was a very loud sound of footsteps running from my laptop toward the window. Our fridge is below the window. It's a mini fridge. Then there was a loud bang and the blinds rustled and stuff fell off the top of our fridge. It sounded like someone ran into the fridge. We turned the light on and there was a dent in our fridge door. It's been almost a month now with no incidents happening since the fridge incident. I wish I was making all of this up since I live in this room, but the truth is that it's all true.